Good evening. It's a privilege to be here. I consider it a great honor to be able to preach the gospel. James A. Garfield used to be a member of the Church of Christ, and he was a minister before he even became president. And he made the famous statement, "When I step out of preaching and in the presidency, I step down." Preaching the gospel is a great responsibility, because whenever a preacher stands before people, he must remember that this pulpit belongs to God. It does not belong to mankind. And so we must honor the precious word and hold to the truths that are taught in God's word, and to love that truth more than anything else in the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings are inside of Christ Jesus. That's a great privilege that we have for being inside of Christ. One blessing enjoyed in Christ is support that we from brethren that we receive in times of spiritual crisis. There are times in our lives when we're down, and even though we may be strong. And so therefore we rely upon each other. As one preacher used to say, you know, we must hang together or we'll hang separate. So we all have to lean upon each other. There are strengths in numbers. God created us as social beings to rely upon each other in this life, especially those among His people. And it is the duty of the morally and spiritually strong to bear the spiritual burdens of the weak. The Bible has a great deal to say about helping those who are maybe caught up into some particular sin. And we have a divine mandate to go to these people and help them with it instead of avoiding them. And so that's one of the spiritual blessings that we have is each other. Those who are strong are to support the weak, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And those who are spiritual are to help those overcome a fault, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You know, it is a part of the law of Christ to bear one's burdens, Galatians 6, verse 2. At the same time, we have the responsibility to become strong. We are to grow. We are not to become stagnant in this life, but to continue studying God's Word and becoming stronger. And sometimes, almost in every situation, it requires that we deny ourselves. But occasionally there are those who maybe level off and they may not grow as well as what they should. Each Christian has a responsibility to bear his own load. Now we see in Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 6, verse 1, it says that we are to help bear each other's load. And then whenever we get down to verses 4 through 5, it almost seems like a contradiction. It says that a person is to bear their own load. But those are two different Greek words in the original, and that becomes confusing. The first has to do with helping people come out of a fault, a sin, some type of spiritual vice that they've been caught up in. The second one has to do with working out our own salvation, and that cannot be done by proxy. No one can believe for me. No one can repent. No one can confess verbally that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, for me. This is an individual responsibility, and that's what that verse is talking about. You know, work out your own salvation. we will be held accountable for our own actions on the day of judgment. Romans 14, verse 12. And so it's our responsibility to pick ourselves up as well. Now, there are times when even the strongest may be caught up in a fault. And we need the help of our brethren. But there are times, there are certain situations that we just simply must rely upon God and ourselves. That's the reason Jesus told those who asked him. He said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow. And a lot of times we want to go to heaven, but it's very difficult to deny ourselves. But if we're going to grow, we have to learn to say no to ourselves. Some Christians never seem to progress from being supported to supporting themselves. And so we must learn to grow from that point of being supported to a point of being the supporter. Some people remain very dependent upon their brethren. Unless constantly nurtured by brethren, they fall away or maybe become apathetic. You know, such brethren are what might be described in the vernacular as high maintenance. And so we must ask ourselves at the onset of this lesson, as maybe a thought-provoking introduction thought, are you high maintenance? I don't know whether you are or not, but we must look at ourselves. We must look inside, and we must ask ourselves, are we high maintenance, or are we being a true Christian, a true follower of God, a true productive Christian that is contributing to the cause of Christ in the church? There are several things we want to look at in developing this lesson. First of all, we want to look at the definition of maintenance. You know, as far as it's used in our everyday speech, it refers to the head, it refers to the need for a lot of attention. Required to maintain something in good order. This is how we would define high maintenance. A high maintenance person is one who requires a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money. And some people, the truly needy, do need these things. It refers to any person or thing that requires a lot of attention. We may look at other physical things like a car. It takes a lot of maintenance to take care of a car. Maybe it's an employee at a factory or a company. That employee may require a lot of maintenance. It may be a significant other that require a lot of gifts or maybe a lot of dates or a lot of flowers. But let's look at this definition and focus upon the Christian. Christians are high maintenance if they require a lot of attention in order to remain faithful. That ought not to be so. We need to learn to mature to become to the point in our lives that we are helping others rather than them helping us. If a Christian require a lot of cuddling, if they require a lot of pampering to be active for God, to do the work of the church, then that person needs to be looking at themselves and admitting, I am high maintenance. I need to learn to be more devoted, consecrated, and dedicated to God. Christians that are high maintenance, they may be a babe in Christ, and those people are justifiably high maintenance, and therefore they need a lot of cuddling and taking care of. Whenever a new convert comes along, we have a divine obligation to take care of people when they're little babes, spiritually speaking. A lot of times follow-up programs fail because we just simply baptize people and leave them. But yet, God tells us to take care of those people and help them and be give them the assistance that they need so they can become stronger. But then another high-maintenance person is maybe a slothful Christian who attend the work only when constantly prodded to do things. Even churches can be high-maintenance. We read about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The church in Philippi was not. They had really no one could accuse them of being high maintenance. They were people that were very active and had learned and grew to the point to where other people were depending upon them. This congregation is a congregation that supports a lot of people. And certainly no one, or the congregation cannot be classified as a high-maintenance congregation because of your benevolence, and you need to be commended for that. Secondly, in the development of this lesson, let's look at the difficulty of high-maintenance. Where it can help. High-maintenance is crucial, as we mentioned earlier, for a new Christian. Just as it is for a physical baby. When a baby comes into this world, they need a lot of attention. Diapers change, milk. They need food, and they have to be fed, and they have to be taken to the doctor. They have to be taught a lot of things, and so they're high maintenance. So, many Christians, as we mentioned, are just like this as well. High maintenance is essential for hurting Christians, people who have been sick, who have been injured, or maybe they have been caught up into a fault. Instead of running from these people, God says we need to go help them with the sin that they are in so they can have your strength that they can lean upon to come out of those things that they are in. I never will forget one time when I was going to preaching school. Had a guy in Bandera, Texas. He was a pretty wild guy, but he decided his wife, godly woman, she converted him after many years of marriage, and he was so excited he wanted to become a preacher. And if you've ever been to Bandera, Texas, there are more what we used to call beer joints than there are about anything else. And he wanted me to go home with him one weekend and go coon hunting with him. I said, okay. Judy said, go on, you deserve it. So I went with him for a few days, and he said, I want you to go meet some of my friends. So we went down to the bars. And I said, Ray, I said, you know what the elders would say at Preston Road in Dallas, Texas? They saw us down here. And he said, well, Jesus went in these places, didn't he? He said, I want these people to see me and the change that I have made in my life, my old friends. And hopefully that will be an influence upon them to maybe change. Did Jesus go to these places? Yes. Did he eat with the publicans? Yes. And the sinners? Yes. Why? Because they needed to lean upon his strength. We have to be very careful in these things. We have to be strong. But these people at times need our strength to lean upon so that they can come up themselves. High maintenance can hurt when it hinders the growth of the church. The primary work of the church is edification, benevolence, and evangelism. And this work is hindered whenever we spend too much time, maybe, on a few individuals that pulls us away from that work. Or maybe a church that pulls us away from that work that may not be productive or growing. It can hurt when it holds back the efforts of workers. Paul desired to preach where Christ was not named in Romans 15, verse 20. Yet churches like the one in Corinth held him back, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Corinth had procrastinated, and Titus was not able to bring a report back to Paul so he could go on to Troas. And these people had not heard the gospel. And so he made a decision. I've got to go on. I can't wait for procrastinating Christians. High maintenance can hurt when more serious needs go unmet. You know, there's babes in Christ that need to be helped because maybe someone expects more from the church. The sick and the dying being neglected because someone may require the church to take care of them more. You know, there are times in our spiritual lives when we all require high maintenance. There is no doubt about it. But the whole point of the lesson is we must grow to the point that we will become a support to other people and not stay at a level if we possibly can. Thirdly, how do we overcome high maintenance? How do we come out of that if that's the type of person we are? Well, we do it through individual growth. We need high maintenance when we are babies in Christ. But we should reach a point where we do not need it, where we can become the providers and not just the recipients of the church. I have a little book that I've been fascinated with. I bought it at a used bookstore. And it talks about how to apply the Bible. I just love it. I'm really fascinated with it. The book talks about the three ways that we apply the Bible. Through our knowledge, we gain knowledge from the Scriptures. The Bible has a great deal to say with it. We need to study. We're to study to show ourselves approved. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need knowledge. We apply the Bible when we learn knowledge. Number two, we must develop the right attitude towards that truth. Knowledge within itself has no virtue unless we have the right attitude towards that truth. And then we must put that knowledge, once we have the right attitude, to work. We call that conduct response. And he gave an illustration in this book. I would like to read it to you about a person who had a great deal of knowledge, but he did not have the right attitude, nor did he apply what he knew in the Scriptures. He says, while studying in the Holy Lands, a seminary professor of mine met a man who claimed to have memorized the Old Testament in Hebrew. Needless to say, the astonished professor asked for a demonstration. A few days later, they sat together in the man's home. Where shall we begin? Asked the man. Psalm 1, replied the professor, who was the avid student of the Psalms. And so, beginning with Psalm 1:1, the man began to recite from memory, while my professor followed along in his Hebrew Bible. For 2 hours, the man continued word for word without a mistake as the professor sat in stunned silence. When the demonstration was over, my professor discovered something even more astonishing about the man. He was an atheist. Had memorized the Old Testament in Hebrew. It reminded me of Nikita Khrushchev. He was a genius. He had memorized the four Gospels, but he was an atheist. Do we not make the same mistake? when we learn everything there is in the Bible, but yet we fail to live it? We need to learn to apply the Bible in our knowledge and developing the right attitude and then doing what the Bible says. That's difficult for me to do. I don't know about you. One time, I didn't like to visit the sick. Had an elder come ask me one time. He said, "Farmer, I need you to go with me to visit some sick people." And I thought, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. And I said, "I don't know, I just don't like doing that." I said, "How to overcome that?" And he said, "Just go do it." You know, just do it. And so, after a while learning to do that, I learned to appreciate that particular activity. And so that's the way it is with a lot of things. You know, my purpose has not been to discourage high maintenance when it is rightly needed. There's a lot of people who need high maintenance. But the whole application of the lesson is for us to examine ourselves and revert back to that initial question, am I high maintenance? We need to learn to look at ourselves, and if we are, then we need to change our lives, and we need to learn to develop, to be a part, a productive part of God's church. Well, that all begins with being a Christian. Anything that we would do for the cause of Christ and not be a Christian, it would not bring glory to God. And so we need to be a Christian. Now, the Bible says that we must believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in believing, we must repent and confess and be baptized. You may be here this evening. You need to be restored. Or you simply may need the prayers of the church. But whatever your need is, we want to encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.